Well, today we continue on in our series in Philippians on the second Sunday of May. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the service, next Sunday we'll celebrate Pentecost, and we will be looking at chapter 4 of Philippians if you want to read ahead. And so today we are looking at chapter 2, as Dan so creatively just taught you. This is Christ's hymn that Paul felt that was very important for those in Philippi to understand the very nature of God, and what does the incarnation actually mean when you think about our daily living. And this was his attempt to help the Philippians, and now indeed to help us understand better what does it mean that Christ is with us. So listen for God's word from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, always knowing that you are of one mind, and do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we come again to this time in our week, and we ask that you would help us to especially listen to your challenge, your comfort, your word, and that we would embrace the truth of you as our Savior, as our Lord. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. I'm guessing that at breakfast this morning over your oatmeal or peanut butter toast, you were probably not thinking about Arius of Alexandria or of Athanasius of Alexandria, not names that come readily to our minds, even to we preachers. I had to keep looking to see how to spell Athanasius. It's not the easiest name in the world. But these two gentlemen, if you know your church history, came to blows back in the late 3rd century because they had different ideas about the incarnation. What does it mean for Christ to have come and to walk on this earth? For these two centers of thoughts that emerged, the one from Arius, because he declared, and remember this is Old English, that God begot Jesus, and before Jesus was begotten, he did not exist. Before Jesus was begotten, he did not exist. And he based this on the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 28, when Jesus declared that God was greater than him. If God obviously came before Jesus, then he was greater than him. But Athanasius believed that the begetting or the uttering of the word by the Father is an eternal relation between them and not a temporal event. Now, what does all that mean in 2018? It means that Athanasius clearly believed that Jesus and God were on that same level, even though we hear about God in Genesis when we read the scriptures. So when you think about all of this happening, and there was all of this stress in the church, and so again, if you remember your church history, the Roman Emperor Constantine was fearing that there was going to be this great division and divide, and it would destroy Christianity that he had become so thoughtful and progressive and hopeful. So he called for the 317 bishops to gather together. And what happened in this gathering was what you might have heard of, indeed, was the Creed of Nicaea, or the Nicene Creed, which we as Presbyterians believe. And so it was a turning point in our church history. Our confirmation students can tell you all of these things, I'm sure. But since that day, we would, of course, like to say that everyone has continued to agree about what it means for who Jesus is for us today. But we know that is not always the case, and that is why there continues to be some division and some things that we don't always agree upon. And so I believe, after studying this text and seeing many different themes that come out of it, I want us to really focus on the humility of Christ and that he came to this earth. And what does it mean for us to think about him walking physically, to be both divine and God? One of the amazing parts of this journey at Westminster has been the creation of the stained glass windows. I think we're at kind of a unique time in the life of our church when you look over here and see the lovely windows that were put in the 50s, and then you look over on this side. I really thought that everybody would sit on that side so they would look over here, but your habits are strong, right? But as I think about the creation of this window here on the north side of the church, I think about that baby that Mary's holding there. And those of you who were on the committee know that it was a battle to have the artist create that baby, that picture of Jesus. Because the artist had Jesus sitting up with a full head of curly hair, right, Mr. Grimes? Looking like he was two or three even. And we kept saying, Jesus came, the incarnation happened with this baby. And no, we weren't there, but the best we can imagine, he didn't look like he was two, right? And it struck me how that battle that we had with the artist is often like this battle that we have as Christians, trying to understand who indeed this Jesus is for us. How could this baby that we see here, so innocent, so precious, be our Savior? Now, the easy answer is, well, it's a mystery, right? God, in God's infinite wisdom, brought about this baby to us. To me, it comes back again to how we use the words of our language. Think about the expression, level with me, and how we use that expression when we really want to try to get someone's opinion of us, right? Level with me. I say to my husband, should I let my hair go gray or continue to spend a lot of money to make me not look like I'm 51? Or we say to a loved one, level with me. How is your soul? What are you struggling with? Level with me. To me, that's what the incarnation means. That Jesus is leveling with us. although Jesus, as Paul tells us, should be elevated and glorified, Jesus instead came to us on the same level, on the same level as us. Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to suffer, to be rejected. Think about the beauty of this passage. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's the power of Christmas. It's the power of Good Friday. It's the power of Easter morning, all wrapped up in Paul's words here. In humility, Christ came to teach us how to live and how to be the church. In all honesty, there's probably not a week that goes by at Westminster and all of the ways in which we are such a healthy church. There's always some conversations about differences, especially when you're trying to do a capital campaign, right? What color should this be? Where should that go? What's the timeline? What's the money factor? All those things, and trying to guide us through that process. When I was visiting my parents back in February, I was talking to a pastor there who knew that we were going through a capital campaign and these changes to our building. And he said to me, you know, with every capital campaign, there's a pastor that's buried in the wall. I said, wow, that's encouraging, right? Because the truth is, we're not always of the same mind. We're human. We have opinions. And yet, the beauty of the church, and it doesn't always happen this way, but how God intends is for the church to work through those differences in humility, in love. Think about how we've had to prioritize through the years, that it took us this many years to change from that to this. It took a lot of sacrifice to bring that kind of beauty. And believe me, I've struggled. I'm pretty thrifty. My husband might not agree with that. But I've seen the poverty in this world, and I know it's a struggle to spend the kind of money that it takes to have stained glass windows or an addition. And yet yesterday, I watched those children, many of whom had never been in a sanctuary before, and they looked at those windows, and they looked around in the awe of this beauty of this place. And the little girl, Chloe, that I was sitting next to said, I've never been anywhere like this. That's the world that we live in. And so though we struggle, right, how to be humble, how to be Christ-like, we also see compromise. And that God uses every part of that for God's benefit and for the kingdom to grow. One of the beautiful privileges of being a pastor is to hold the hand of someone who's dying. And this week I had that privilege again. And holding the hand of Evie Bordson. And those of you who knew Evie know that she had just a few opinions. And yet the way in which she shared them and her deep devotion for this church and for Christ taught me so much. Evie never gave birth to a child. And on this Mother's Day, I can't think of a better example of a mother, of someone who changed the lives of countless students that she taught by being strong, by being kind, She had a student named Tommy, and when she met with the principal at the beginning of the school year, and she was reading through the list of the students in her class, and when she read Tommy's name, the principal groaned. Oh, Tommy's going to be a challenge. And Evie vowed that she wouldn't send Tommy to the principal, but that she would find a way. And so she ended up being invited to Tommy's home for dinner because his mother was so grateful for Evie's love and investment. And at that same dinner, she also, the mom, happened to invite a bachelor named Harry. And they fell in love and spent a life together. So it's a lesson to all of us that God uses us in our humbleness and our differences to be the church and to change the world. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the delight of being your church. And though we may not always agree, Paul tells us to push through, to be like you, to love each other, even in those times in which we may not have the like-mindedness. So thank you for coming down and leveling with us. And thank you for lifting us up in love. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.